thank God it's
really bad stretch, strong ending. You're gonna be in the spot of your, which is on the bubble, which is not a place to be. And it's been 2 years in a row. I think it's come down to waiting the night before the season for another team to win to give you a chance on the final day. It's not desirable, and it's not conducive with the end goal, which is to, you know, reposition the way that we go about it, replenish the prospects of the team and the draft capital of the team, and then start to build towards being a contending team that everyone in this room and in this city expects and has gotten used to. That's really the only goal for me here, and I knew that coming in. This was all going to be part of it. It's just a matter of how quickly can we get it there.
Happy Friday, everyone. Malzy sitting across from me. Little Austin Bechtold is in for Donnie, who was sending us pictures from Nashville today, but he wasn't at a honky-tonk or anything like that yet. He was just driving by
the
Titan
football stadium.
Yeah, that's very on brand for the football guy. Hey, here's a charmless stadium where they play with the worst uniforms in football.
Stadium, have you been there?
No, I've not, actually. I've only driven around Nashville. I've never been to.
Little Austin, you ever been to a game there? Titan Stadium?
No, never have.
It is a lot like the Steelers Stadium. It's a lot like Acrisure.
Charmless.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in terms of the actual design of it. Like, the top of the stadium has, like, those, you know, those, like, bright yellow beams.
Yes. They've got, like, the red beams, don't they?
Yes. So it's the same thing. And they're trying to replace that stadium. What are we doing with ours?
Apparently, the public will probably end up paying for several $100 million.
What is David Morehouse doing behind the scenes?
Man, I think we should
twiddling his thumbs like Mr. Burns, going,
Yeah, I mean, I think we should probably move on from this topic if you're going to bring his name up, because I tend to have a bad habit of saying things about him that tend to stick.
I actually have very good personal experience with Mr. Morehouse.
No, I'm aware. I mean, I don't have any personal experiences with him, but I suspect if I did, they'd be negative.
There was a lot of bloviating from Dubas. Bloviating galore.
He likes to be expansive with his answers.
37 minutes.
How many questions in 37 minutes? About like 12 or 13?
I didn't hear any repeats.
So he's asking...
Actually, maybe one person got two questions, and it was Seth Rohrabaugh, but everyone else only got one.
Empty netters.
Including Jeff got one.
Kyle does the thing we've talked about many times. He'll like address the reporters by name. He's very good at buttering you up. Ooh, I like that question.
Didn't use Jeff's name.
Does that
I was
just
disappointed
mean
by that.
Jeff's a news hound? And Jeff's a crusty old news hound?
Jeff in the doghouse?
Yeah, does that mean if you don't get your name used at the start that you've somehow
text
run
Jeff.
Afoul?
And say Jeff.
I think he's out in the newsroom right now.
Oh, well.
I'll ask him in the first break.
Austin,
I'll ask him.
Can even run him down and ask him at one point how he felt about
the way Dubas handled his question?
No, Dubas.
He loves to talk expansively, man. He is a guy. I'll start this little dance here. He's a guy who can win the press conference, who can win those situations like he had earlier today, because he I'm sure is very sincere. I'm not here to cast aspersions on the sincerity or the level of belief, whatever. But Kyle Dubas understands how to just oratory in general. How to speak passionately and with conviction about what he wants to do, and occasionally to be frank and honest when to do otherwise would be almost offensive to anybody listening or watching or doing whatever, Pony.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger with guys like that is when they're really good at it, they can get away, and some people would argue it's what you and I do for a living at times. You can filibuster and sound really passionate and really engaged and say very little of substance about what your plans actually are.
That's the word salad.
But I mean, I think he's better at it. No offense. I think he's better at it. Ben Cherington, you'll occasionally get like some clues maybe with Cherington. But I think Kyle is better at doing that than Ben was or is or Neil Huntington ever was. Like Kyle puts a little bit of a spice to it.
Well, he did say something significant in the clip that we played. The objective has changed. The goalposts have been moved. Many Penguins fans here have felt for a long time that this group or this core cannot win a Stanley Cup anymore, that the window has passed, that the door has been slammed shut. And when Dubas came in here, he acknowledged that there were a couple of different things he wanted to accomplish, but his actions were Stanley Cup oriented. They traded for Erik Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
Their moves last year for this season were to try to make the missed playoffs thing a blip on the radar, make it the outlier.
We're not just trying to make the playoffs. So, we're going to get guys in here who help us go very deep into the playoffs.
So there's an answer from him on how this season went,
mm-hmm.
followed up with the goal being, the only goal, he said, to reposition, replenish with prospects and draft capital. You've got Sidney Crosby still, maybe not at his apex, but or height of his powers. You still have a very good Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
The GM in no uncertain terms said, I'm not going to call it a rebuild, but I'm going to say that 2024-2025 is about some bigger picture. It's about some long game. I got a long-term deal. I'm not a short-timer. I'm not an interloper. I've got a lot of job security. And this season, even though we finished wrong, it effed me up so bad that I started my tenure by saying I would bet on Mike Sullivan and Sidney Crosby. I'd never count them out. To today, flip-flopping to, it's about repositioning, replenishing. That's like, you want to talk about like euphemisms and things. Those are like words that the Pirates would come up with 3 or 4 years ago to like steer away from saying rebuild,
mm-hmm.
but also let you know like, hey, we get it. We're not going to BS you. We know that we can't win the World Series right now.
There's a very famous example. I don't remember which politician it was asked about something and was introducing a new tax and said it's a wage-based premium, something like that. And I was like, okay, it reminds me of that. I mean, do you take
read my lips? No rebuilding.
Right. Do you take on some level, if the goal is to always be relevant and to never go through another dip where like no one's going to that place because it's like a scorched earth rebuild, do you take some solace in the fact then that he seems to understand that despite the strong finish, the way that they are currently constructed is not sustainable and nor is it a particularly accurate thing to keep chasing that down in the hopes that it'll all break your way? Like, let me put it this way. I'd rather hear this from him after year one on the job, actually watching the team play, than after next year, you know what I mean? After, two more years on the job. He sounds pissed, and he's pissed below the surface, and he probably should be.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a fair way to summarize it? I hope you and I aren't talking across purposes here, because I think we have the same basic opinion on what he said today.
Which is, what's your thesis point again?
I mean, that he understands that you can't do it this way again, no matter how anchored he is to certain things, like publicly.
Right.
He understands that beneath the surface, behind closed doors, it has to be different.
And I think it's unrealistic to think that if you have Sidney Crosby anchoring a top line, you're going to be that bad where you do become one of the worst teams in the NHL. This reminds me a little bit of, I've shared this story with you on the air, of when they were trying to get it. We got a free vacation, but the whole thing was we had to get the pitch for the timeshare.
Yeah.
And I just knew that the timeshare sounded too good to be true. And they made it sound spectacular. They made it sound amazing. They made it sound like, why would you just want to stay in one hotel room when you can have this amazing palatial thing and you can get it in so many different places? And I went in saying, whatever you do, do not say yes. Mm-hmm. And Amanda got hoodwinked by it and
she
wanted me to take
say
it.
Yes.
And I said, no, we're not doing it. And the lady on the way out tapped me on the shoulder and said, congratulations, you just made the worst decision of your entire life.
What did you want to say back to her in that moment?
F you.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
I think you should have. What happens if she just gets a robust F you right back?
So here's what I'm sharing that because it segues into how I feel about Dubas. Repositioning and replenishing with prospects and draft capital. Music to the ears of many Penguins fans. But how do you go about doing it? He admitted today that it's not going to be, quote, scorched earth, where you turn into one of the worst teams and you're picking, like the Pirates have for years, at the top of the draft and getting great young players through the draft.
He used a specific word instead. He used pivot.
Pivot, okay. But how do you actually do that? You've got so many guys on no movement clauses. It sounds like you don't want to be bad, but it also sounds like you know you can't be great. So he is really stuck in this limbo. He has a plan that he's trying to execute, but I don't even, if I were his bosses, if I were Fenway Sports Group, I'd be like, Kyle, thank you for putting so much time in this presentation. You tell me what you want to do. Can you now get into the details of how you actually plan on executing
it? Can I offer devil's advocate then? if we all agree that the power play was a massive issue for them and in the source of much of their frustration and inability to be the team they wanted to be, if he believes he's going to get better from Carlson next year, maybe better from certain players, wouldn't he then believe he's going to fix the power play and that'll take care of a lot of this and he'll be able to have his cake and eat it too? If our power play is 15th in the league, we're going to be a playoff team if the 5-on-5 is even close to what it was this year. I think Erik Karlsson, I'm Kyle Dubas, I think he'll be a better player than he was. Boom, we're there. We'll add in some younger guys, we'll get faster and younger in the bottom six especially, and our power play will be better. We will make the playoffs.
All right, but again, these two things might be at odds with each other. What is his, quote, only goal? It sounds like it's to get younger. It's not to win.
Yeah, but I think he feels like he can do both.
That's great. That's not exactly chewing your gum and walking the dog at the same time.
But I do think there's a pathway. If you have to make two leaps here, that you can stay as good as you were at 5-on-5 next year.
Right.
And that your power play will jump from 31st or whatever to 15th.
You know you've done this before, and I'm not saying this to criticize you.
No, criticize away.
We've had these postseason discussions and you after season discussions, and you said, I think last year, hey, actually, if you just fix the goaltending, you got a pretty good team here.
Well, I'm gonna make a promise to you right now. I'm gonna make a promise. I don't care how good their offseason looks or how much, you know, Sean Gentile or any other national or local analyst says they've fixed this and gotten this right. I'm going to make a prediction right now. They'll miss the playoffs again next year. I don't care. I don't care what happens.
Kyle Dubas sounds like he would be fine with that as long as they've repositioned and replenished with prospects and draft capital.
You know what it
actually
sounded like? It sounded like the head of a corporation that's gone through some very hard times saying, we're going to come out of this on the other end of things, much better equipped, more mobile, light on our feet to handle a changing economic landscape.
When the Penguins called Chris Muller several times to try to get you to re-up your season tickets, was the sales pitch, Chris, hi, it's Steve from the Penguins. How do you feel about repositioning and replenishing prospects and draft capital? Because, baby, we got that coming your way in spades.
Do you want to reposition your seats next year? Because we're going to be repositioning.
Sorry you missed out on Yager bobblehead. But
how about you pivot to the lower level, pal?
Austin, can I interest you in repositioning and replenishing prospects and draft capital?
No.
Okay. What do you do then? I mean, that's maybe the question we can tackle. What do you do if you're in his shoes?
Right.
What is the right direction?
Well, you'll hear how he explained it, plus what he said about Sid's future, his goalies, and Mike Sullivan's status. It was a lot from Dubas.